A female drummer. There's a number of female drummers these days in the rock music world, but when this woman was in a band, it was probably a bit of a rarity, and she was in a very well-known Brisbane band. We'll hear them before 7:45 this morning. Well, the mining, oil and gas sector says it's under increasing pressure to manage the impact of drugs and alcohol in the workplace. It's believed that's in part because they're more tolerated by the broader community compared to previous decades. This comes as new research shows the use of ice in rural Australia is almost double that of urban areas. The ABC's Babs McHugh has the story.
Drug and alcohol use in the community spilling over into the workplace is something that's worried mining companies in recent years. Nev Power is the CEO of iron ore miner Fortescue Metals Group.
We recognise that there is a growing and significant incidence of drug use in our society, and we're concerned that some of that flows over onto our mine sites and endangers the safety of our workers and the individuals themselves.
That is the sound of a methamphetamine user having a psychotic episode in a hospital emergency department while on the drug that's known as ice. According to research just released, this young man fits perfectly into the Australian demographic of an ice user. Professor Anne Roach is the director of the National Centre for Education and Training at Flinders University.
The drug is used widely across the community, but it's concentrated in relatively young people, the 18 to 24-year-olds in particular. It's used twice as frequently by males than it is by females. And for people who are employed, it's more frequently used by people who work in blue-collar industries.
Young, male, blue-collar worker. Although blue-collar worker is a somewhat outdated term, that description of an ice user would fit many an Australian mine worker. And what happens out in the community is often reflected in the workplace. In fact, mining company FMG was so concerned about the rise of community drug use infiltrating its own mine sites, it joined forces with the West Australian Police to have sniffer dogs waiting for its FIFO workers when they arrived at the Outback Christmas Creek mine in the WA Pilbara. Nick Power explains.
But we have an opportunity where people are channeled through our airports coming onto the site, and any single person affected by drugs on our mine site's one too many. But clearly it is a growing issue, and we're continually getting intelligence from a variety of sources about attempts to infiltrate drugs onto our mine sites. We want to step up and take an industry lead on this. I think for too long we've, as an industry, hidden in the shadows and turned a blind eye to it and tried to pretend that society is not overflowing into our employees on the mine sites.
This mine site's first-hand experience mirrors a survey released by mining lobby group AMMA. Amanda Mancini is the Director for Workplace Training. She says the resources sector has led the way on managing not just drugs but alcohol abuse and the effect it can have on workers' capabilities. But the uncontrolled rise of ice and the use of so-called synthetic marijuana or designer drugs is rising.
About 40% of respondents have reported to us in this survey that they are testing for synthetic cannabinoids.
How quickly do they change?
I mean, it's changing week to week, so some of the international examples show that legislation has been largely ineffective at managing this issue given the increasing development of the drugs.
Some states have banned synthetic cannabis, though. Isn't that a pretty good response?
Well, it's certainly one response, but a collaborative approach really is needed.
A lot of people are on a lot of medication these days. How do you differentiate between the two when you're doing the testing?
Well, in a zero-tolerance environment, it is important to be reporting the use of prescribed medication, and that is another theme that's come out of this survey, is that a lot of people not reporting prescribed medication.
Do you think that non-reporting or non-self-reporting could be related to things like the medications they're taking are antidepressants perhaps, and maybe drugs for ADHD, and they feel they might be stigmatised?
The industry is certainly aware that low levels of reporting prescribed medication is something that needs to be really looked at, and we're concerned to manage that. But there's particular sensitivity where an issue is related to drug usage that intersects with a health problem. So obviously employee assistance programs are prevalent workers and making sure they're supported is certainly common in the industry.
And support is what's needed. Without it, many addicts, like Ryan, have little hope of recovering their lives, let alone their jobs.
I'm a recovering drug addict and I'm 3.5 years clean and sober from methamphetamines and all substance. I had to go to a rehabilitation centre. 3.5 years ago when I decided that I had had enough and I lost my house, I couldn't get a job, I couldn't pass a drug test, I lost 2 cars, I lost a boat. More importantly though, I lost, you know, my family, you know, my mother and father, my nan and pop, my brother, you know, I was in the grip of addiction and there was a small window for me to go, hey, put my hand up and I need help.
That's Ryan, a former ICE addict, and before that you heard from Amanda Mancini from the mining lobby group AWMA, Neville Power, the CEO of Fortescue Metal, and Professor Anne Roach from the Flinders University, and that report, of course, put together by the ABC's Babs McHugh. It's 29 past 7, not long till the news.
If you're not from around here, you may benefit from this important safety tip from one of the locals.
Remember the Fatal Five.